I have used a lot of commerce platforms in the past. By far, the most robust is Shopify. No matter how complex your business needs and no matter how large your business grows, Shopify can handle it. And they do handle it for brands like Rothy's, Ruggable, Allbirds, Knox, Magnolia, Brooklinen, Glossier, and Cotton, to name a few. You may already use another e-commerce platform and you may be super unhappy with it, but you've already put a lot of work into it and migrating to Shopify could seem impossible. But I'm here to tell you that it is quite easy. When I migrated to Shopify back in 2022, their apps and tools meant I just had to make a few clicks and everything was ported over as if by magic. Shopify also lets you design your storefront however you like, which from personal experience I know isn't the case for many other commerce platforms out there. All these features and all this control can result in more sales more often. So stop leaving sales on the table. Switch your business to Shopify today and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their businesses. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/practical, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/practical. shopify.com/practical. Good morning, Prakoptan. I am glad you're here. Welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about heartache from the Stoic perspective, specifically how to deal with it. A lot of you have written in the past to ask me questions like, I'm going through a divorce with my spouse, I'm breaking up with my longtime boyfriend or girlfriend, and I need to know how to deal with this stoically. The truth of the matter is, a lot of you reach out to me a lot of the time. I get half a dozen emails almost every day from listeners just like you, asking questions just like this one. And I had considered writing a book to answer these questions. In fact, I may still do that, but since I already have a book coming out in November, I can't do that at the same time. There are rules. You can't release a book and then immediately release another book that competes with the sales of the first book. The publisher gets upset with you. But what I can do is start a long form, God forbid I'm using this word, newsletter. And I say God forbid because I think newsletters, I don't know. I don't feel great about them. Nobody likes more email. But newsletters, which I will now call publications, email publications, are a great place to delve into longer form, deeper content. And an email inbox isn't a bad place to get this stuff if you actually want this stuff. So if you go to practicalstoicism.net, I tried to get the .com, but somebody else already has it. I don't know who has it. They don't have anything up. I tried to contact them, but I'm stuck with the .net, folks. I'm sorry. PracticalStoicism.net. You can subscribe to what is now and will always be a publication free to the public, which will be delivered to your email inbox every Monday morning at 5 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time. And in each one of these editions, I'm going to be diving into a topic like, for example, heartache, or another example and an upcoming issue or addition is on controlling anger. Not only do I think this is a great place to go into longer form content, I think that newsletters, and again, I don't like that word, but I think that newsletters allow me to reach a much larger audience who has no idea podcasts even exist. If you can believe that, people out there still don't listen to podcasts. In fact, podcasts are the least consumed form of media on the internet, way behind video, text, and images, far behind. So by bringing content to the inbox, I feel like I'm able to expand who I can reach and help. And that's what I'm here for in the first place. So I'm happy to do that. I want to do that. It's important that I point out that the content of this publication, this email publication, is not the same as the podcast content. I don't like repurposing content. I think it's cheap. Having said that, I am going to repurpose content today because I want you to get a taste for what kind of content is contained in this new publication. So today's episode will be about approaching breakups, divorces, heartache, heartbreak stoically. And this is the kind of stuff you can expect from the newsletter at practicalstoicism.net. Again, free to all. And if you like what you hear today, I would encourage you to go and subscribe to that free newsletter email publication so that you can continue to benefit from content like what you'll hear here today. So you'll have the podcast, you'll have an email publication, and you'll be getting more stoicism than you can probably handle. Before jumping in, I'd like to thank some new patrons. Thank you to Sean Mayer and Steve Andreas, which I think I've said correctly, Steve, but if not, you know who you are, and thank you. I will now break for a few sponsor messages, and when we come back, I will jump right in. Stay with me. This episode is made possible in part by Factor Meals, and I know that I've raved about this company and service in the past, but forgive me because I'm going to do it again because it is absolutely awesome. Chef-quality meals, each shaped around whatever nutrition methodology you prefer, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, low-carb, keto, whatever floats your boat, delivered to your door every week to help keep you eating the way you want to eat, even on and especially on days where maybe you don't have time to make the choices you want to make. And all of this is customizable to your schedule and lifestyle. At the very least, you need to learn more about it and decide whether or not to give it a try yourself. Head to factormeals.com/practical50, that's practical 50, and use the code practical50 to get 50% off of your first box plus 20% off of your next box. That's practical50 at factormeals.com/practical50 to get 50% off of your first box plus 20% off of your next box while your subscription is active. I have used a lot of commerce platforms in the past. By far, the most robust is Shopify. No matter how complex your business needs and no matter how large your business grows, Shopify can handle it. And they do handle it for brands like Rothy's, Ruggable, Allbirds, Knox, Magnolia, Brooklinen, Glossier, and Cotton, to name a few. You may already use another e-commerce platform, and you may be super unhappy with it, but you've already put a lot of work into it, and migrating to Shopify could seem impossible. But I'm here to tell you that it is quite easy. When I migrated to Shopify back in 2022, their apps and tools meant I just had to make a few clicks, and everything was ported over as if by magic. Shopify also lets you design your storefront however you like, which, from personal experience, I know isn't the case for many other commerce platforms out there. All these features and all this control can result in more sales more often, so stop leaving sales on the table. Switch your business to Shopify today and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their businesses. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/practical, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/practical. shopify.com/practical. There is little more painful in life than the loss of a relationship you didn't want to lose. This pain seems to be the most acute when our boyfriends or girlfriends break up with us, or when our spouses say they want a divorce. When someone dies, you can at least find a small amount of comfort in the fact that death is inevitable, and no one chooses when it happens, normatively speaking. But in a breakup or a divorce, someone has actively chosen to leave you, and that someone is still out there in the world, living, and worse yet, possibly loving someone new. We can quote Seneca, Marcus Aurelius, or Epictetus as much as we want, but none of their wisdom is going to convince anyone that the pain of heartache is imagined or something we can simply choose not to experience. Heartache hurts, and the grief that comes with this sort of loss isn't something we can just stoic ourselves out of by memorizing the Enchiridion. We can, however, use Stoicism-inspired reasoning to shorten the timeline of our heartache and, very likely, endure its lifespan with a bit more grace than we otherwise might. I will start by explaining why heartache and breakups are indifference. And that word is indifference, not indifference. Indifference and indifference are two different words. To the Stoics, if something is an indifferent, it is something which has no power over our ability to choose virtuously. If someone kicks us in the shin, for example, we could choose to kick them back, or we could choose to turn the other cheek and walk away. We could, of course, choose a number of other responses as well. Being kicked prompts us to choose, but it does not dictate the choice we make. When we're discussing more than one indifferent thing, we refer to them in the plural indifference, ending in ENTS. Indifference, ENTS, and indifference, ENCE, are, of course, homophones. They are two words that sound the same, but are spelled differently and mean different things. This has caused no small amount of confusion when people, upon first encountering Stoicism, are told by Stoicism influencers to practice indifference, or that, for example, love is an indifferent. When Stoicism influencers say things like, if you can't control it, it's an indifferent, so you must show indifference towards it, they are betraying their ignorance of the philosophy they're claiming to understand and to influence you with. Nothing can be considered indifferent in the sense of it being an indifference, ENCE, to a Stoic. A Stoic does not choose to be indifferent toward indifference, ENTS. If you're still confused, and it is natural that you would be, here's why Stoics don't treat indifferent things indifferently. If the ability to choose is the only thing which is truly ours, which is what Epictetus says, and other Stoics, of course, and the choices we make convey whether or not we possess the knowledge of how to live excellently, virtue, that's the only good in Stoicism, then the way we choose to interact with indifferent things directly communicates the quality of our character and whether we possess virtue. We cannot then, as Stoics, flippantly choose not to care about that which we cannot choose because that choice, the choice to suspend care due to a lack of, if you prefer, control, is not rational and therefore not the choice a virtuous individual would make. As an example, we cannot choose whether or not our parents take good care of themselves. Perhaps they eat fast food every day, drink alcohol with every meal, smoke a pack of cigarettes a day, have terribly high blood pressure, and are pre-diabetic. It is objectively true that the healthfulness of our parents is an indifferent in that it has absolutely no impact on our ability to make virtuous choices. On the other hand, however, whether or not we choose to care about the health of our parents is something we choose to do or choose not to do. This choice, whichever we make, says something about how we understand our role as their children. Do you think that the Stoic sage would choose not to care about the health of their parents just because they couldn't choose the health of their parents? Hopefully, you do not. Now, I have just used the word role, and some people listening may not know what that means. What is a role in Stoicism? So I'm going to briefly explain Stoic role ethics to you. And it may seem like at the moment we are far away from talking about heartache, but I promise you this is relevant and good answers take time to get to. A role can be thought of as an individual's duty or responsibility. It is an expectation you, specifically you, are meant to fulfill. The ancient Stoics believed that human roles were acquired in a few different ways. To paraphrase those ways, first, assignment by society. Second, assignment by nature. Third, assignment by the consequences of our actions. And lastly, assignment by our personal preferences. Roles assigned by society are, for example, having a job, being a contributing member of our community, being taxpayers. Roles assigned by nature are, for example, being human or being a man or a woman. Roles assigned by consequence can be things like being a parent. We chose to have sex with someone and some months later, a child was born. And then finally, roles assigned by our own preferences. These are things we choose to do or be. Perhaps we choose to be a firefighter or a soldier or an artist or a singer or an athlete or an entrepreneur or any other thing. One of the central tenets of Stoic role ethics is that no single role can conflict with any other single role. And if it does, that means we have inadvertently taken on or been unjustly assigned a role we shouldn't have taken on or been assigned. And to resolve the conflict, we've got to abandon one or both of these roles. The consequence of this approach is a necessary limiting of our ambitions. Pursuing a new role always requires that we consider whether we can pursue that new role without abandoning the ones we already have. This necessarily means we must be careful about how much we take on at once. We must maintain balance, so to speak, so we can adequately fulfill all our roles. Now, lest it be misunderstood, Stoics are able to abandon most roles if they deem it appropriate to do so. It is not as if once you are a firefighter, you can never choose to become an entrepreneur and are stuck in that one career forever. But Stoics must consider such choices very carefully. Would it be, for example, morally just to abandon our role as a caregiver to our ailing parents so we can travel the world simply because we really, really want to see Europe or Japan? To be fair, the answer could be yes. Every individual's context will be different, but it could also be, and is probably, no. The Stoics insist that we make such decisions with a sort of intellectual rigor and honesty that requires a lot of patience to muster on a regular basis. There are also some roles that we cannot abandon, and these are roles assigned by nature or consequence. We cannot, for example, abandon our role as a human being, nor can we abandon our role as a parent or as a son or daughter. These roles are part of what we factually are. They cannot be changed. That doesn't mean we can't functionally abandon our role as, for example, a parent, but we'd still be a parent no matter how little we behaved like one. In either case, abandoning roles in an unjust way, and we'll talk about Stoic justice in the future, certainly arrests your progress on the Stoic path. It is not in keeping with the ethics of the philosophy. As you may expect, Stoics are big on fulfilling their roles appropriately. But what do roles have to do with breakups and heartache? Quite a lot, actually. How can we fulfill our roles as children, parents, members of society, or human beings if we allow heartache to reduce us to quivering puddles of tears, hiding in locked bedrooms, and refusing to serve any role but the role of jilted ex-lover? The answer is we cannot. This answer provides the motivation necessary to reframe our heartache in a useful way. Importantly, it doesn't solve our heartache, we'll get to that in a minute, but it reframes it in a useful way. It reframes it as an indifferent, which could pose a threat to our progress towards cultivating a good character, our progress towards becoming better than we currently are. But, you say, you said an indifferent couldn't impact our ability to develop a good character. So how can it be a threat? Because an indifferent, if you remember, prompts us to choose. And choice reflects whether or not we are virtuous, whether we possess the knowledge of how to live excellently. Heartache is an indifferent, but all indifference are opportunities for us to fail to choose virtuously. And so in this way, indifference can be dangerous. We need to see heartache not just as an indifferent, which is natural and completely human to experience, which, by the way, it is, but also as a hurdle to our much more important aims in life. It is okay, objectively, that we're a puddle of tears for a bit, but we cannot stay that way. There is far too much at stake for us not to, as quickly as possible, accept what has happened to us and move forward with the understanding that indifferent things do not have the ability to dictate how we relate to the world or ourselves. Now that you know this, though, what happens next? How do you survive and move on from a breakup? I've got 5 steps for you. 1, accept that the other person was unhappy or unsatisfied. Never mind whether or not you believe they should have been those things, just accept that they were. 2, realize that no matter how much your heart might be trying to convince you otherwise, you have no interest in letting someone remain unhappy and unsatisfied just so you yourself can be happy and satisfied. You are not a selfish person. 3, internalize the belief that no one who isn't yourself can make you miserable and malcontented. These internal characteristics are yours to choose to embody, not your ex's. Your grief will reach a point where it stops being overwhelming and becomes something you can choose to continue to indulge in or which you can choose to step back from. You need to be ready to step back as soon as you reach this point, and reaching this point will take time, but you need to be on the lookout for it. 4, show up for your other roles. You're still a son or a daughter. You're still a mother or a father. You're still a student or a member of a local community, or more than one of these things, of course. You're still a lot of other things. do not choose to abandon everyone else just because you feel someone chose to abandon you. Remind yourself of all the other meaning and purpose in your life. You've lost one thing, not everything. And then 5, show up for yourself. You are hurting and you need to address it. Take walks, take time off, see a therapist, spend healthy time with your friends. Whatever it is you need to do to give yourself the space necessary to nurse yourself, recover, and move on, do it. You've been stabbed. It is not a mortal wound. You are going to survive, but it hurts, and you need to treat yourself with care for a while. And there is nothing unstoic about that. The stoic approach to handling heartbreak is one of rationality and sensible care. You're human. You are feeling a human thing. Feel it. Don't repress it. It's not natural to repress your natural emotions. It's also not rational to let your raw, natural emotions rule you for any longer than it takes your rational mind to gain influence over them. How long it will take you for your rational mind to gain influence over your emotions depends on who you are, how badly you were hurt, and how dedicated you are to regaining that rational influence from the start. Thanks for listening today. I hope you enjoyed this preview of my new email publication, which you can subscribe to for free at practicalstoicism.net. A new edition will be sent to you every Monday morning at 5 a.m. U.S. Eastern. And if today's episode was interesting to you and you want more like this, then you want to subscribe. Again, that's practicalstoicism.net. As for this podcast, it's going to continue, of course, releasing episodes on Monday and Friday. I will say that as we get closer to the due date of my son, which is April 13th, just about 1 month from today, and we're expecting him to show up early, if I suddenly don't publish an episode for a week or two, or people fill in for me here, and I have some people planned, you'll be kind of excited about that, I think. Know that the reason is that I am adjusting to being a first-time new father, and I might need a few weeks to get through that. Anyway, thanks again for listening. Check out practicalstoicism.net if you'd like more. Subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. And if you're enjoying this podcast, by the way, and would like to support my work, check out stoicismpod.com/members to become a patron and to get an ad-free version of this podcast. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, take care.